Scene 9. 1. Athens. An apartment in the palace of Theseus. Enter Theseus, Hippolyta, Philostrate, lords, and attendants.
'Tis strange, my Theseus, that these lovers spake of. More strange than true. I never may believe these antique fables, nor these fairy toys. Lovers and madmen have such seething brains, such shaping fantasies, that apprehend more than cool reason ever comprehends. The lunatic, the lover, and the poet are of imagination all compact. One sees more devils than vast hell can hold, that is the madman. The lover, all as frantic, sees Helen's deity in a brow of Egypt. The poet's eye, in a fine frenzy rolling, doth glance from heaven to earth, from earth to heaven, and as imagination bodies forth the forms of things unknown, the poet's pen turns them to shapes, and gives to airy nothing a local habitation and a name. Such tricks hath strong imagination, that, if it would, but apprehend some joy, it comprehends some bringer of that joy. Or in the night, imagining some fair, how icy is a bush supposed a bear. But all the story of the night told over, and all their minds transfigured so together, more witnesseth than fancy's images, and grows to something of great constancy. But, howsoever, strange and admirable.
Enter Lysander, Demetrius, Hermia, and Helena.
Here come the lovers, full of joy and mirth.
Joy, gentle friends.
Joy and fresh days of love accompany your hairs.
More than to us wait in your royal walks, your board, your bed.
Come now, what masks, what dances shall we have, to wear away this long age of 3 hours between our after supper and bedtime? Where is our usual manager of mirth? What revels are in hand? Is there no play to ace the anguish of a torturing hour?
Call Philostrate.
Here, mighty Theseus.
Say, what abridgment have you for this evening?
What mask? What music?
How shall we beguile the lazy time, if not with some delight?
There is a brief, how many sports are ripe. Make choice of which your highness will see first.
Giving a paper.
Rates.
The battle with the centaurs, to be sung by an Athenian eunuch to the harp.
Will none of that. That have I told my love.
In glory of my kinsman Hercules.
The riot of the tipsy bacchanals, tearing the Thracian singer in their rage.
That is an old device, and it was played when I from Thebes came last a conqueror.
The thrice three muses mourning for the death of learning, late decist in beggary.
That is some satire, keen and critical, not sorting with a nuptial ceremony.
A tedious brief scene of young Pyramus and his love thisp.
Very tragical mirth.
Merry and tragical.
Tedious and brief.
That is hot ice and wondrous strange snow.
How shall we find the concord of this discord?
A play there is, my lord, some 10 words long, which is as brief as I have known a play, but by 10 words, my lord, it is too long, which makes it tedious.
For in all the play there is not one word apt, one player fitted.
And tragical, my noble lord, it is, for Pyramus therein doth kill himself.
Which when I saw rehearsed, I must confess, made mine eyes water, but more merry tears the passion of loud laughter never shed.
What are they that do play it?
Hard-handed men, that work in Athens here, which never labored in their minds till now, and now have toiled their unbraced memories with this same play against your nuptial.
And we will hear it.
No, my noble lord, it is not for you.
I have heard it over, and it is nothing, nothing in the world, unless you can find sport in their intents, extremely stretched and conned with cruel pain, to do you service.
I will hear that play, for never anything can be amiss when simpleness and duty tender it.
Go, bring them in,
and take your places, ladies.
Exit Philostrate.
I love not to see wretchedness o'ercharged, and duty in his service perishing.
Why, gentle sweet, you shall see no such thing.
He says they can do nothing in this kind.
The kind are we, to give them thanks for nothing.
Our sport shall be, to take what they mistake. and what poor duty cannot do, noble respect takes it in might, not merit. Where I have come, great clerks have purposed to greet me with premeditated welcomes. Where I have seen them shiver and look pale, make periods in the midst of sentences, throttle their practiced accent in their fares, and, in conclusion, dumbly have broke off, not paying me a welcome. Trust me, sweet, out of this silence, yet I picked a welcome, and in the modesty of fearful duty I rate as much as from the rattling tongue of saucy and audacious eloquence. Love, therefore, and tongue-tied simplicity enlaced spake most to my capacity. Enter Philostrate. So place your grace, the prologue is addressed. Let him approach. Flourish of trumpets. Enter prologue.
Prologue, if we offend, it is with our good will. That you should think, we come not to offend, but with good will. To show our simple skill, that is the true beginning of our end. Consider then, we come but in despite. We do not come, as minding to content you, our true intent is. All for your delight we are not here. That you should here repent you, the actors are at hand. And, by their show, you shall know all that you are like to know.
This fellow doth not stand upon points. He hath rid his prologue like a rough colt. He knows not to stop. A good moral, my lord. It is not enough to spake, but to spake true. Indeed he hath played on this prologue like a child on a recorder, a sound, but not in government. His speech was like a tangled chain, nothing impaired, but all disordered. Who is next?
Enter Pyramus and Thisbe, Wall, Moonshine, and Lion, as in dumb show.
Prologue, gentles, perchance you wonder at this show, but wonder on. Till truth make all things plain. This man is Pyramus, if you would know, this beauteous lady Thisbe is certain. This man, with lime and rough cast, doth present Wall, that vile wall which did these lovers sunder, and through Wall's chink, poor souls, they are content to whisper, at the which let no man wonder. This man, with lanthorn, dog, and bush of thorn, presenteth moonshine. For, if you will know, by moonshine did these lovers think no scorn to meet at Ninus's tomb, there to woo. This grisly beast, which by name Lion hight, the trusty Thisbe, coming first by night, did scare away, or rather did affright, and as she fled, her mantle she did fall, which Lion vile with bloody mouth did stain. Anon comes Pyramus, sweet youth, and tall, and finds his trusty Thisbe's mantle slain. Where it with blade, with bloody blameful blade, he bravely broached his boiling bloody breast, and Thisbe, tarrying in mulberry shade, his dagger drew, and died. For all the rest, let Lion, Moonshine, Wall, and lovers twain, at large discourse, while here they do remain.
Leaving the stage, prologue, Thisbe, Lion, and Moonshine.
I wonder if the lion be to spake. No wonder, my lord. One lion may, when many asses do.
In this same interlude it doth befall that I, one snout by name, present a wall. And such a wall as I would have you think that had in it a crannied hole or chink, through which the lovers, Pyramus, and Thisbe, did whisper often very secretly. This loam, this rough cast, and this stone, doth show that I am that same wall, the truth is so. And this the cranny is, right and sinister, through which the fearful lovers are to whisper.
Would you desire lime and hair to spake better? It is the wittiest partition that ever I heard discourse, my lord.
Pyramus draws near the wall. Silence.
Enter Pyramus.
O grim look night! O night with hue so black! O night, whichever art when day is not! O night, alack, 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 I fear my Thisbe's promises forgot. And thou, O wall, O sweet, O lovely wall, that stand'st between her father's ground and mine, thou wall, O sweet and lovely wall, show me thy chink, to blink through with mine ain.
Wall holds up his fingers.
Thanks, courteous wall. Jove shield thee well for this. But what see I? No Thisbe do I see. O wicked wall, through whom I see no bliss,
Cursed be thy stones for thus deceiving me.
The wall, methinks, being sensible, should curse again.
No, in truth, sir, he should not.
Deceiving me is Thisbe's cue.
She is to enter now, and I am to spy her through the wall.
You shall see it will fall pat as I told you.
Yonder she comes.
Enter Thisbe.
O wall, full often hast thou heard my moans, for parting my fair Pyramus and me.
My cherry lips have often kissed
thy stones with lime and hair knit up in thee.
I see a voice, now will I to the chink, to spy and I can hear my Thisbe's face.
Thisbe, my love,
thou art my love,
I think.
Think what thou wilt, I am thy lover's grace,
and like Limander am I trusty still.
And I like Helen, till the fates me kill.
Not Schaffelus to Procris was so true.
As Schaffelus to Procris, I to you.
Oh, kiss me through the hole of this vile wall.
I kiss the wall's hole, not your lips at all.
Wilt thou at Ninny's tomb meet me straightway?
Tide life, tide death, I come without delay.
Thus have I, wall, my part discharged so,
and, being done, thus wall away doth go.
Leaving the stage, wall, Pyramus and Thisbe.
Now is the mural down between the two neighbors.
No remedy, my lord, when walls are so willful to err without warning.
This is the silliest stuff that ever I heard.
The best in this kind are but shadows, and the worst are no worse, if imagination amend them.
It must be your imagination then, and not theirs.
If we imagine no worse of them than they of themselves, they may pass for excellent men.
Here come two noble beasts in, a moon and a lion.
Enter Lion and Moonshine.
You, ladies, you, whose gentle hearts do fare the smallest monstrous mouse that creeps on floor, may now, perchance, both quake and tremble here, when lion rough in wildest rage doth roar.
Then know that I, one snug the joiner, a lion fell, nor else no lion's dam.
For, if I should as lion come in strife into this place, 'twere pity on my life.
A very gentle beast, and of a good conscience.
The very best at a beast, my lord, that e'er I saw.
This lion is a very fox for his valor.
True, and a goose for his discretion.
Not so, my lord, for his valor cannot carry his discretion, and the fox carries the goose.
His discretion, I am sure, cannot carry his valor, for the goose carries not the fox.
It is well, leave it to his discretion, and let us listen to the moon.
This lanthorn doth the horned moon present.
He should have worn the horns on his head.
He is no crescent, and his horns are invisible within the circumference.
This lanthorn doth the horned moon present. Myself the man I the moon do seem to be.
This is the greatest error of all the rest.
The man should be put into the lantern.
How is it else the man I the moon?
He dares not come there for the candle.
For, you see, it is already in snuff.
I am awry of this moon.
Would he would change.
It appears, by his small light of discretion, that he is in the wane.
But yet, in courtesy, in all reason, we must stay the time.
Proceed, moon.
All that I have to say, is to tell you, that the lantern is the moon.
I, the man I the moon, this thorn bush, my thorn bush, and this dog, my dog.
Why, all these should be in the lantern,
for all these are in the moon.
But silence, here comes Thisbe.
Enter Thisbe.
This is old Ninny's tomb.
Where is my love?
Oh.
The lion roars.
Thisbe runs off.
Well roared, lion.
Well run, Thisbe.
Well shone, moon.
Truly, the moon shines with a good grace.
The lion tears Thisbe's mantle, and exit.
Well moused, lion.
And so comes Pyramus.
And then the lion vanishes.
Enter Pyramus.
Sweet moon, I thank thee for thy sunny beams.
I thank thee, moon, for shining now so bright.
For, by thy gracious golden, glittering streams, I trust to take of truest Thisbe's sight.
But stay, O spite.
But mark, poor knight, what dreadful dole is here.
Eyes, do you see?
How can it be?
O dainty duck! O dare! Thy mantle good, what? Stained with blood? Approach, ye furies fell! O fates! Come, come! Cut thread and thrum! Quail, rush, conclude, and quell! This passion, and the death of a dear friend, would go ne'er to make a man look sad. Beshrew my heart, but I pity the man. O wherefore, nature, didst thou lion's frame? Since lion vile hath here deflowered my dare, which is no, which was the fairest dame that lived, that loved, that licked, that looked with cheer. Come, tears, confound, out, sword, and wound the pap of Pyramus. Eh, that left pap, where e'er doth hop. Thus die I, thus. Now am I dead, now am I fled. My soul is in the sky. Tongue, lose thy light. Moon, take thy flight. Now die. Dies. Exit moonshine. No die, but an ace, for him, for he is but one. Less than an ace, man, for he is dead, he is nothing. With the help of a surgeon he might yet recover and prove an ass. How chance moonshine is gone before this comes back and finds her lover. She will find him by starlight. Here she comes, and her passion ends the play. Enter Thisp. Methinks she should not use a long one for such a Pyramus. I hope she will be brief. A mote will turn the balance, which Pyramus, which Thisp, is the better. She hath spied him already with those sweet eyes. And thus she moans, videlicet. Asleep, my love? What, dead, my dove? O Pyramus, arise, spake. Quite dumb? Dead? A tomb must cover thy sweet eyes. These lily lips, this cherry nose, these yellow cowslip cheeks, are gone. Lovers, make moan. His eyes were green as leeks. O sisters three, come to me, with hands as pale as milk. Lay them in gore, since you have shore with shares his thread of silk. Tongue, not a word. Come, trusty sword. Come, blade, my braced imbrue. And farewell, friends. Thus this ends. Adieu. Dies. Moonshine and lion are left to bury the dead. Eh, and wall too. No, I assure you, the wall is down that parted their fathers. Will it place you to see the epilogue, or to hear a bergamasque dance between two of our company? No epilogue, I pray you, for your play needs no excuse. Never excuse, for when the players are all dead there need none to be blamed. Mary, if he that ridded had played Pyramus, and hanged himself in Thisp's garter, it would have been a fine tragedy. And so it is, truly, and very notably discharged. But come, your bergamasque, let your epilogue alone. Hear a dance of clowns. The iron tongue of midnight hath tolled 12. Lovers, to bed, 'tis almost fairy time. I fear we shall outsleep the coming morn, as much as we this night have overwatched. This palpable gross play hath well bedwalled the heavy gate of night. Sweet friends, to bed. A fortnight hold we this solemnity, in nightly revels and new jollity. Leaving the stage. Midsummer night's dream. End of scene.